let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm number 145. The first version of the psalm, we shall sing through this psalm this evening, 145, the first version. I'll thee extol, my God, O King. I'll bless thy name always. Thee will I bless each day, and will thy name forever praise. We sing these verses 1 to 7, 5 stanzas. Now let us join together in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the assurance that God's kingdom is indestructible, that it is present with us now, that it will be revealed in all its glory in the coming ages, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And so we sing these words this evening in the knowledge that our praises are not in vain, that we are simply expressing the faith that has always characterized God's people down through the ages. And the ups and downs of this world do not affect in any way the unchangeable nature, gracious and glorious reality that God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, that it is a privilege to enter in. The door is opened to us through the gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly preaching, emphasized the kingdom over and over again in these many parables that he spoke. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto so many of those illustrations and metaphors that he used to bring to our attention how we can understand the nature of the kingdom of God. And as we sing about these things this evening again, O Lord, we pray that we would remember that in these dark days in which we are living at the present time, that the Word of God is meant to illuminate our understanding, to put all the events of this world into their proper perspective, and to enable us to see that there is nothing that is fortuitous or unforeseen. There is nothing that comes into our experience which God, our Heavenly Father, has not planned. And so help us this evening again to sing, and as we read the scriptures, to understand that these psalms that we sing and the scriptures that we read generally, they all coalesce in one great theme, emphasizing our need to understand that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And we pray this evening, O God, that we would enjoy singing the psalms and reading the scriptures and listening to the word, that we would enjoy the fellowship of the saints, even although we are absent physically one from the other, that we would remember that the ultimate realities of our faith, while they are rooted in history, observed with physical senses, nonetheless, in the main, concern things that are unseen as yet, but these unseen things are eternal. So help us to look away unto the message of the scripture that is revealed so clearly, consistently in the word. As we come again to pray, we give thanks that your mercies are new every morning, that we have daily bread, that we have privileges in life, that we have families and friends and homes, that we have so many good things, many things which our forebears did not have, many things which many of our fellow human creatures, even in the world at this very present time, do not have. But we have them. We recognize them as God's gracious gifts, providential blessings. And so it becomes us, O God, to give thanks, but not to set our hearts upon them. We pray that even if we are bereft of all our outward and temporal blessings, that we would still remember the kingdom of God is real, and that by faith in Jesus Christ we are citizens of that heavenly kingdom. And so in these great realities we pray that we would rejoice. That once again we remember the church, the congregation to which we belong, the denomination to which we belong, the whole tradition of Protestantism to which we belong, the whole tradition of biblical Christianity going back 2,000 and more years now, to which we also belong. Indeed, going back into those Old Testament times when the people of God had the Word of God and the Gospel was being preached even in those ancient days, and justification by faith alone was the same then as it is now. So we pray that we would remember the long history and tradition of the communion of saints, in order that we might not be partisan or sectarian, or rather parochial and limited in our thinking, but remember that the Church of Jesus Christ is a truly Catholic Church, that it is worldwide, all nations included, and all ages included. So we confess our need of understanding. We confess, O God, that our sins prevent us from understanding fully, and that this whole area of growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is a lifelong venture, and it is a lifelong struggle, overcoming the difficulties, the doubts, the critical comments, the massive unbelief on every hand, the fact that the way into the kingdom of heaven is narrow, the gate is narrow, the road is narrow, and few there be that find it. And so we pray that as we look around and see so few sharing with us in this great hope of the gospel, that we would remember that these are not strange days ultimately, but the kingdom has always been only entered into by a little flock. So we confess our sins. We seek more and more grace. We remember our loved ones too. We remember the preaching of the word. We remember the preachers of the word, that they would be men anointed by God, converted to Christ, empowered by the Holy Ghost, and kept through the prayers of God's people, as well as being kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So help us, O Lord our God, to come into the courts of God's house once again, assembling around the word to hear what God the Lord would speak, because he speaks peace to his people. And we pray that we would listen in such a way that we would not return again to foolishness. So hear us, O God Most High, and help us as we try this hallowed evening hour to seek the face of the Lord. This is our prayer, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to read in the Acts of the Apostles and in chapter 17. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, and reading from the beginning to the end of the chapter. Now when they had passed, that's Paul and his companions, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason has received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honourable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came hither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, What will this babbler say? Others say, Some, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof you speak is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious, too religious in the wrong way, is what he means. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver, or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them, and so on. Once again, we remind you of the notices. The Wednesday meeting, 7 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m., 6 p.m. And as always, we welcome visitors to these services. Now, we're going to continue to sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 145 and verses 8 to 14. 8 to 14, Psalm 145.